Because we're coming home with a trophy.
Hey there, welcome to Sharkcast Pod, a podcast dedicated to the greatest sporting club in the history of the world, the mighty Cronulla Sutherland Sharks. This show is brought to you by Dyson Logistics, the Royal Motor Yacht Club in Port Hacking, and Jason Hawes at Cripps and Cripps Real Estate. My name is Sam Schnazzy, an OG from 2015. Thanks for being in touch at Sharkcast Pod on the social medias and at sharkcastpod@gmail.com. We will get to your letters in the third segment. But before that, we have segment number one, and I can't do it without my good friend, Sharks member, gym member. Now, I said that you were a Muse fan. I got that wrong.
No, you said I was a Placebo fan.
I said you were a Placebo fan. I got it wrong. He's a big fan of Muse and a lot of other great bands. Josh Bolling, hello.
Hello, mate. How are you?
I just remembered that.
I know. I was thinking about it on the way here, to be honest.
I bet you were. How are you going? How's your week been?
Good, good. Busy. Busy work. And, you know, just pumped for the footy again this week. Can't wait. And the soccer's back as well, so that keeps me up on the weekends.
Now, you go for, don't tell me, is it Leicester?
It is. Well
done.
You
go for Leicester?
I do.
Okay. How are they going?
Not well at all. Not well. No. We're a shambles at the moment.
Okay. Well, this isn't a Leicester podcast, but I hope they improve for you. This is Sharkcast Pod. It is another big week in Sharkland. We are steamrolling towards the finals, and we all can't wait. We're all getting a little ahead of ourselves, I've got to say, including myself. I'm the main instigator. But, Josh, last week on Saturday in beautiful Tamworth, we defeated the West Tigers 36 points to 12. It was a one-way, not smashing, but a one-way comprehensive victory, impressive in a lot of ways, and we got the 2 points.
Yeah, we did what we needed to do. It wasn't the most thrilling game. It won't be remembered in years to come, but each win counts. The 2 points are banked, and we move on to the next game.
The clear thing for me from the first set was the forward domination. Royce Hunt led the way, and they were making 70 metres a pop a set. That's how you win games. And clinical first half, I thought.
Yeah, the first half in particular was really good, actually. It was really fun to watch. And I don't know about you, but within those first few sets, it was just like, okay, like, we've got this already. I don't know if that's the arrogance coming at me of being a good team this year, but those first few sets, I was like, there's no way they were going to be able to stop us.
Even if Cronulla had completed poorly, which they didn't, they were 36 from 43, they had 55% possession. Even if they had had, I don't know, 40% possession, they still would have won by 20.
Yeah.
Such was the dominance. I was really impressed with Royce Hunt. He's got a new one-year deal, which we'll get into later on. But the thing that's impressing me most this week, Josh, is our next man up mentality. A lot of clubs, every club says it, but we're actually grabbing it by the throat and we're going for it. Next man up. If you're next man up, you're in. If you're Lockie Miller, if you're Matt Ikavalu, had a great game. If you're Royce Hunt, the list goes on. That and the fact that we're missing so many of our starting guys.
I think that is the most impressive thing for me is that, you know, maybe I'm as guilty of this as anyone, that you can get a little Nancy about performances when you have guys out and you can kind of forget that in the moment. But, you know, taking stock of all that, the fact that we're playing still relatively well, it's key men out as well. You know, it's our fullback who's integral part in all of our attacking shapes. Our 5'8", who's arguably the centerpiece of all our attack.
Yeah, but there's a winger, there's a center,
forward.
There's a whole bunch.
Yeah, there's a piece in each section of the
side. We even saw Big Andrew didn't play for family reasons, and that's all been sorted out, which has been great. But even just things like that, late changes. We saw Jesse Calhoun play some good minutes. Fitzy's got a good squad.
He does, yeah. And I think that's the most impressive part. And it probably fills you with a bit of sense of relief in a way that if something goes wrong, you know, in the next few weeks or even in the finals, that we're not going to be completely gone. Whereas, like, you know, if the Panthers lose a Cleary or if the Rabbits lose a Latrell, they're pretty much gone. Whereas we are showing that while we may not be able to win a comp, say, without certain players, we'll still be able to be competitive at worst.
So on Matt Ikavalu, there was a huge rumour going around that we were going to get a debut from Kale Iro, but never the case. It was always going to be Matt Ikavalu. That was just something the club locked in last Tuesday on team selection day, if not before. And Kale's pretty close, and he was 18th man, which is great, and he'll get his shot. But Ikavalu is doing exactly what he was bought for. You know, he wasn't bought to be a superstar. He wasn't necessarily bought to be a starting week-in, week-out guy. He kind of was the backup. And playing mostly in the centres, I think him and Ronnie switched a little bit here and there, but mostly in the centres, he was strong. You know, and I'm not his hugest fan, but he was pretty good.
I think the biggest compliment I can pay to him is that I didn't notice him too much, which is, and I'm being kind in that regard, that he did his job. He didn't make any glaring mistakes. He got a nice try, ran for 116 metres. Out of position, you would argue. I know that he played centre through the grades and what have you, and but he's a winger, and I thought he did a good job. Like, can't complain, really.
He did, and we saw another great game from Cade Dykes, and I think the jury's a bit out there, depending on who you talk to, about how well he's going. I'm of the belief that he's going really well. I see a huge future in him. I know that's a big call, because it's only been two games. But based on potential, super happy to have him there playing. I mean, I'm looking forward to Will coming back, and that's a fantastic situation. It's not a headache for the coach, but a situation for the coach to have. And Dykes can play other positions, namely 5/8. Whether they throw him there in a situation, I don't know. But got his first try, which was great, set up by Lockie Miller, and I thought Dykes was good.
Yeah, we have been a little disagreeing about this. I think watching his game, you can see the natural talent, and you can see how good he can be. I still think he's a long way away, though. There's little sparks, but there's more standing out to me at the moment to say, it's good that we've given him a shot. He's in there now. He's had two games, but it's also nice to see as a fan, okay, he's not quite there yet.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you did say that, because I recognize that, and I definitely agree with you that he's nowhere near where he's going to potentially be, and also it's his second game and he's a kid. So yep. I get that. But I think if I factor all that in, that's part of my reason for saying he's going really good. It's not a 30-year-old veteran who's jumping in and playing derbies and playing games where we're doing it for our former players who've passed away, et cetera, et cetera. Like, it's some heavy situations he's been thrown into. And I think, for the most part, I really like his style of attack. And it does remind me of his dad, and that's not why I like it. But he's very elusive, and that's to do with age, I guess. He's just so young and quick. But, I thought he was good. And again, I think it's next man up, and I'm glad he's there if he is the next man up, which he will be for the next few weeks. How did you think our halves went in Trindle and Hines?
I thought Hines' first half was stellar halfback football. I thought he was incredible. And not that he was bad in the second half, but I think we did take the foot off the gas a little bit. That's no slight on the team. I think it's, you know, when it's coming to finals time, you don't need to go full throttle when a game's won. But he's to get us into the position to be comfortable, I thought he was insane. He ran for about 142 metres as a half? I mean, ridiculous.
Yeah. Let's talk about what you were just mentioning, the fact that we did take the foot off a little bit. It was different to the past weeks where we'd taken the foot off.
Yes.
This team didn't get back into it. They weren't even close to getting back into it. We just didn't carry on with a reaching 60-point kind of thing.
We didn't need to.
Didn't need to. Would have been good, but didn't need to. And it's not like they shut up shop. It's not like they started playing badly. They just didn't put on a lot of points. I'm with you. I don't think it's a problem. Aside from the for and against, I don't think it's a problem.
Yeah.
And I have no issue with it. We did see Toby get injured late in the game.
Do you think that could have spooked some of the guys with seeing, like, when we're so close to finals, seeing Toby go down with a potentially serious injury?
I don't think that you stop, because you're still going to, like, do hit-ups and tackles. Yeah. Like, you don't stop being physical. I know what you're saying, and I completely I understand what you're saying. I don't think I have an answer for you.
No.
I would think that, I guess if you're playing a team like the West Tigers, you know you're going to win after 5-10 minutes. You know you're going to win. Second half, you're winning by 30 or 20, whatever it is. You've just got to, like, basically defend.
Mm.
And then just get through your sets. And I could see how a forward in particular, a forward, definitely not mentioning your names or thinking of anyone, but a forward would maybe run that 4 or 5% less physically than normal.
Yeah. I guess I was kind of, yeah, it sounds bad when you verbalize it.
I know what you're saying.
But yeah, I guess you could.
If you think about 2016 week 3 against the Cowboys in the finals, and we let in those 4 tries at the end or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
The game was gone.
Yeah.
We knew it. No one wanted to get suspended. No one get injured. That's your classic example.
I think we're at that point now. It's like, at minimum, we're playing finals no matter what.
Yeah.
We probably need another 2 wins to make the top 4 for sure. And no one wants to get hurt now because everyone wants to play the finals. I think there's a little bit of that. I think it's hard not to as a human being to not think about that stuff, regardless of what team mentality is and, you know, always playing at 100% every time. It's, you're going to have those thoughts of, I really don't want to get hurt now.
The thing though, Josh, is, and I have no idea if they're being told this or not. I feel like they're not being told this, but what we're all thinking is we want to finish second, and it's completely possible.
Mm-hmm.
Completely. Now, to finish second, either you got to win all your games, you got to hope that the Cowboys drop
at least one.
One or two, yeah. So, taking the foot off too much, for example, this week, could be a problem.
Yeah, it's a fine balance.
Yeah. If I was doing the talks, and the world's glad I'm not, but if I was, at training every day, I'd be showing them the ladder and showing them where you can be with, let's face it, 3 not overly difficult games to win. Like, if you throw out the whole bogey thing in this week, which we'll talk about, I mean, Manly's team's actually not bad, but we can win all 3 games.
100%.
So that for me is the aim. And you do it 1 week at a time, I get that. If we're talking about taking it easy in games, you got to pick and choose when to do it.
And I guess also the crucial part of that is if you front load that energy in these games now, you can afford to give yourself that break in round 25 against the Knights.
Hopefully.
If let's say we somehow wrap up second spot with the last game to go, no matter what happens.
Because we're playing
Newcastle away.
Are we last or almost? We're the last,
we're
top 8.
Sunday 4 p.m. I think.
I think it's 2 p.m. But I think Jards was saying we're the last of the top 8 play or whatever.
So we'll know in a way. I mean, it's bad because we have a less day rest, but we also can work out if what we need to do. If we need to win, we can play everyone. If we don't, or it doesn't matter, I'd take half the team out, to be honest.
So you see what we're doing?
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
We're doing the Tigers review. I'm talking week 3, you know.
That's the point is that it's inconsequential about this result. I mean, it's just a means points to an end to get to the grittier stuff, but we probably should keep going with the game.
I mean, I thought the forwards were outstanding, and look, I admit again that they were playing a team that defended like ice cream, like they were just, I like ice cream, but it was just so soft. But it was good for the confidence, you know, seeing Ueli, seeing Hunt, guys who are not superstars, really muscle up and in this game at the very least just look like the baddest guys you've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, they took the pressure off Toby, Dale and Cam, even though all 3 of those guys are really good anyway.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It made their job easier, that Royce in particular. I thought his first 10 minutes was incredible. He had like 70 metres in like no time at all. His first stints the last few weeks have all been really strong. He's carrying about 10 metres or a bit more for his first 20 minutes or so. And I think his minutes could increase, which we may need if Toby's out for the first week of the finals. I'm jumping ahead again. But we may need him to play 45 minutes instead of his usual 30.
Yeah, and I should point out, Josh, that even though I haven't checked the file, I'm assuming it's all good. We have an interview with Royce Hunt later on we're going to throw up. So I had a chat with him today. He's in a good place and his mindset is a lot of what you just said. So I'll let you hear the interview later on. But
great.
But a good point about guys like Dale, who still had strong games, but they didn't have to just put their body on the line every single
time.
And he's a guy that I would like to see a bit of cotton wool on when it's okay to do so.
Like, he would definitely be one of those guys that if we could afford, I'd love to give him another break. Even though he got 2, so if we can't afford to give him a break, he's had one, so that's good. He's had these 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
But if we can afford, you'd be wrapping him up in cotton wool with, you know, the likes of Nico and probably McInnes.
I think McInnes too, yeah.
He was, I thought McInnes again was outstanding. Yeah. I thought he was a little off last week or potentially the week before, but his game was, his first touch, I think he made like 15 metres, then he made his second touch, a line break. It nearly scored a try a couple of times. Like he was, I think he's the kind of guy that when he has a dip, that you can fully expect his next game to be out of this world. Because he expects so much of himself.
I like the fact that on their day, they're a sneaky, tough football team. Like, if you look at all the packs, and if you talk to, in inverted commas, the experts or whatever, they'll probably tell you that our pack's not bad. It's probably a bit smaller, we know that. But no one's really... I'm not going to say no one's afraid of our pack, but we're not sort of put into the same category as other teams. And
I get
that's right or wrong, whatever. But I like the fact that on our day, I wouldn't want anyone other than Dale Finucane in my team. I wouldn't want anyone other than little McInnes going nuts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Ueli, when he's peaking, is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And I think that, I mean, when I say on their day, they've been pretty good all year, consistently. But I think that's another reason why we are somewhat under the radar still, somehow, which is fine. I don't
that's
care
good.
About that stuff. Yeah. You know, not household names necessarily.
It's funny you say it, though. Like, I would say that they're not regular people who, you know, in the wider community of rugby league and on social media, no one's going to go and rave about a Cam McInnes performance or a Braden Hamanueli performance. But people who know football respect these guys, and like the teams, like and our team specifically, always talk about the respect they have for Dale and Cam, and you can't buy that. And like we might not, like you said, we might not have the biggest pack or the most intimidating, but they're tough, and you take toughness over big scary any day for mine.
And I think that, I mean, there was a dip in the season where as a pack, so not one of them, not putting the blame on anyone, but as a pack, they kind of, I think, took a step back.
For sure, I agree.
But they've definitely moved forward, and I think they started the season well too. So hopefully they've gotten past that, and it's all uphill from here.
That's got to be a tactic, right? You front load at the start of the season, you get off the front foot, and then you pull back mid-season, then you and that's all about timing for your finals. And Fitz has learned that from arguably the best in the business at Robbo to time your run. And I feel like it's just starting to click again now. We're coming back to that early season, but
Josh, I'm getting excited. Why is there still three games to go? Teague Wilton, how do you think he went?
He was okay. I thought, if you want to get into that sin binning.
Now, remind me what happened.
Dane Laurie, who had actually been quite a threat all game, I think caught the ball behind him or turned.
Oh, the late tackle.
And as he turned, Teague can't see where the ball is. If he doesn't take him, he might dummy step, go around and score.
Yeah,
and then he passes out the back, and Teague hits him at the exact same time that he passes it. Not even that hard.
It would have been a fraction late, but in terms of a fraction late, it's what you're saying. It's the same motion.
Yeah, in the same, like in the motion of him throwing the ball away, he's hitting him. So technically, possibly slightly late, but for sin binning, I thought was I was outraged. Even though I knew the game was over, it actually really ticked me off.
Well, it doesn't take much to tick you off.
No, it doesn't.
It's just another inconsistency from the officials, I guess, for want of a better word. We don't know. If someone does something, you have no idea what's going to happen.
No. God, it was such a bad decision. And he only got fined.
Well, there you go. He got fined, but he was sin-binned. But it wasn't a professional foul, which in 2022, maybe that's not the only reason you get sin-binned. But, yeah. Did we concede? I don't think we did we?
Maybe. We might have.
We might have to look at our record books.
I know Fafat and Martin Brown scored early on, and then they only scored another try for the rest of the game.
I'll tell you what, that annoyed me.
Yeah, that was...
Because he's been doing that every week.
I know.
He's like their one chance of scoring every week. New Brown from dummy half.
And you tried it a couple more times, and it didn't happen. I think they really wised up to that fit.
I would guarantee you that they would have done video on that for a certain amount of time on whenever they did video that week. Don't let New Brown score.
Yeah,
he's gonna go.
Although very happy for him that he's made a little comeback.
I love him. But the whole world knows he's gonna score from there.
Yeah.
So that was really frustrating. Otherwise, I thought defense was pretty good. The other throw they scored down our left, was it Garner who scored?
That's right. Yeah,
that was a pretty handy try.
That was handy. Yeah, that was a bad read. I think Wilton and
maybe Trindle
were involved. I mean, look, he's a good player.
Again, like I think we've spoken about on the pod recently, you know, if we're talking about a lapse and we win by 20 or whatever, it's not so bad.
And that's not for you or me to fix. That's for the team to fix. You know, we can critique it and whatever, but, you know, it's not the end of the world.
No, it's not. Josh, that was our equal second biggest win this year. We've won 8 of the past 9. We're obviously travelling really well. A lot of our games are being won by 10 points or more. I love this one. We haven't conceded over 20 points in the past 9 matches. So the past 9 matches, no one has scored more than 20 points in a game against us. That hasn't happened since 2017, which is a pretty good year for the club.
Wow.
We've scored the opening try in 7 of the past 8. So we're starting in flying colours, as you've mentioned. So that's the way to start games. Good win. We will talk about Toby in the next segment, Josh. We defeat the West Tigers. The Sharks defeat the West Tigers 36 points to 12 at Tamworth. Great to see a lot of people up there. We've got a bit of mail about that later on. And we'll come back after this short break, Josh, and we'll get into the news, of which there is a bit. This is Sharkcast Pod with Joshua Bowling and Sam Shinazzi back very, very, very soon. Dyson Logistics have been on board with Sharkcast since day one. And because of that and their excellent service, we are proud to be associated with them. Dyson Logistics provides tailored logistical solutions to meet your individual client needs and is set apart by its personalized service. Dyson is a strong worldwide agent network, enabling highly competitive rates. And I should also point out their head honcho is a lifelong season ticket holder of the mighty Cronulla Sutherland Sharks. Find them online, www.dysonlogistics.com, or call them on 02-8339-1844. Dyson Logistics, service delivered.
5 gone, Raper on for Healy. They're all onside. Eddinghausen taken out of it, I thought, by Hasler. But it's a try. It'll be a try. Cronulla's got it. The little bloke has scored it. Paul Green. The little pilot.
He's got on a stepladder, Paul Green.
He flies light aircraft as a pastime. He's higher than a tiger moth.
He thought he was in a Cessna here. Up he goes for it.
Welcome back to Sharkcast Pod, brought to you by Dyson Logistics, the Royal Motor Yacht Club in Port Hacking, and Jason Hawes at Cripps and Cripps Real Estate. If you need something sent, if you need to go somewhere to have a bite or a drink, or if you need to buy a house or rent a house, those three organizations will help you out, especially if you tell them that we sent you there. Josh, on a very, very serious matter, Paul Green, former Shark, and a coach of the Cowboys. He played at other clubs, I should point out, as well as the Sharks. He passed away age 49. We did a podcast the day that it was announced. After that, there was further news about the circumstances, which everyone knows about. Very, very sad news. And I thought the way that the NRL in general responded was really touching.
Yeah, really good. I'm really glad that... I was really hoping that every game would observe a minute's silence and wearing black armbands out of respect, and that was really good, and some really touching tributes. I don't know if you saw the one today from Jonathan Thurston.
Yeah.
It was pretty tough to watch.
Yeah,
but
it was.
But it's important that things like that are spoken about, and it's important that you see the struggles and why it's so hard, because that's kind of how we're getting these problems in the first place, not with people not being feel like they're able to express themselves, which I hope is the main taking away from this horrible incident, that if there's some good that can come from it, is that maybe some other people will feel obliged to share how they feel.
I think there's that fear for a lot of people that, and bear with me when I say this, that his passing will never be forgotten, but also it's normal for life to go on, to move on. And I'm not suggesting it shouldn't for any second. But I think some people are concerned that we're all talking about it now this week, about looking after your friends and family and talking up if you need it and getting counselling and everything involved with that. But I think in 2, 3, 4 weeks' time, the matter sort of gets pushed aside. And I know you can't talk about it every minute, every day. No one would want that, for starters. But I just wonder, and I think that's where the mental health round idea comes
100%.
In. And I'm all for it. I mean, there's no bad in that idea.
No.
And I would be surprised if the NRL don't do it, actually.
I think they will. And I mean, to go to relate this to the Sharks in a way, that the way that Nico spoke after the game, just like, I can't believe how good of a dude he is, as well as being an incredible footballer, and that he's playing for us.
He's a guy that's lived a life, man. And
you
know, if you don't know it, go look him up online. There's
the Matty Johns interview.
The Matty Johns doco especially, and he's had a tough upbringing, and he's come out the other side, and you can hear that when he speaks. You know,
yeah, he means it. He means everything he says, especially about this space and the mental health side of all things. I think he'll push that personally. I think he'll go to the NRL himself, and he's been saying online and in his interviews, we need to have a, you know, are you okay day? Are you okay every day? Obviously, and I've seen some criticism of a mental health round that we try to make it a one-time thing. Whereas that's not the point, though.
It's not the point.
Get the conversation rolling. Mm. It might save one person's life, but that one, you know, is the difference.
I guess that's what I was getting at. Like, in a month's time, you know, Paul Green's tragic passing, for a lot of people, not for his close friends and family, but for a lot of people, it'll escape our minds. And that's natural. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think when you bring in the annual round, it's a reminder. You know, and you can mention Paul Green. I'm sure there's a whole host, unfortunately, of other people that have either gone through it themselves at that level, like rugby league guys and girls, or people they know. And I think that's the perfect example to roll out those stories. And if it is annually, at the very least, it's still part of the conversation. Because imagine if we don't do it, you'll just be kind of waiting for another tragedy.
Yes.
Or near tragedy or whatever.
I think what the NRL do really well is with these rounds that they handle them well, first of all, and that they seem to get bigger and better every year.
Mm.
Women of League round is always getting better. Mark Hughes Foundation gets bigger, and they make more and more money every year. Why not, you know, in 10 years' time, the mental health round could be huge. It could be pumping all this money into, you know, foundations and whatever they think. Are You Okay Foundations and, you know, setting great examples for kids from their heroes, from like a Nico Hines or Ben Hunts, whoever it is, getting the players' stories.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, the players have
humanized them.
The players have lots of stories, and it's up to the players to want to express that themselves in a public forum. Not, you know, I would completely understand if they didn't want to, but it's also up to the clubs, the NRL, and whoever else to get those stories out of them. And I'm a big believer in that. And
if you create the right environment, they will.
Yes. Yes. And I think that's a wait and see, because there are ideas out there floating around. Seeing Jonathan Thurston react like that, and he's not an immortal, but maybe will be. And that doesn't make him better than someone else. But the fact that he's at that level and he has that reaction of someone he was obviously very close to, I think it's just unfortunately, a great advertisement. And bear with me when I say that. For what the NRL can do, they can reach out with him once he's, you know, give him some time to grieve. But you know, if something good can come out of this tragedy,
that is the thing. You have to make the best out of tragedy. You can't let it win. I guess is, you know.
Yeah.
You need to combat it and find ways of making horrible things useful to the greater good in the community. And I'd like to think that this is a big enough situation that the NRL will almost feel, you know, obligated to do it. And why not? Like, literally, why not?
Yeah, as I said, there's nothing negative involved in. No bad can come out of them doing that.
Exactly.
You know? We do urge you to talk to your friends, family. If you can't do that, talk to your GP, talk to a counsellor. There is Lifeline, who are obviously incredible at what they do. The number is 13 11 14. If you are not comfortable doing that, just, you got to speak up. You got to speak out to someone, so we'll leave it at that. Sorry to get all serious on you guys, but it's been a pretty heavy week in the world of our world, I guess. It certainly got me really down, like that Thursday night once it had all broken.
I'm the same.
I think it was announced Thursday morning that he passed away, and then it sort of hit you. And it doesn't make, like, him dying. Like, it's. That's the worst. Like,
yes,
there's nothing worse than that. The circumstance around doesn't make that worse. It probably just makes us feel more hopeless about it. And, you know, a whole bunch of people in our community saw him 72 hours before. I think that, on top of the news breaking about the circumstances, yeah, that was just a major blow. And I mean, I know some of his friends and I know how bad they're dealing with it. And anyway, that's why I thought we'd talk about it on the show, because it is a big talking point. Mm. We shall move on and we'll discuss some happy news. And that is that Royce Hunt has signed a one-year extension. He's only 25 years old.
Yeah.
Didn't realise that. I'd forgotten that.
Coming into his prime.
So I think after the next ad break, Josh, we will roll the Royce Hunt interview. He'll give you insight on what it's like to be a Shark for another year. But congratulations to him. We're big supporters of what he does. Good fella off the field too. His mate, Toby Rudolph, he's out until round 25, week one is what I'm going to say, what I've been told. Same with Will Kennedy. And that's three games, at least two games to three games for us to get through without Toby, who's been in pretty good form.
He has. This is probably the best stretch of form he's been in his career. I was quite critical of him mid-year when we spoke about with the forward pack, leaving a lot to be desired. And I just think his last few weeks have been really, really strong. Not inspirational, but I mean, like around that kind of area where it's like he was a bit of come with me, boys. Just like some of his carries were like just, dragging blokes 5, 6, 7 meters, and we're going to miss that. We're going to miss his energy and his line speed. He's cleaned up his missed tackles a lot this year, so it is a big loss, but if we can get him back week one or at a pinch week two, or if we get the week off, that would be even better. If we could win without him in week three, but we'll be fine. I think for these next few weeks, I think we'll be able to manage it with Hamiunuelli's got some games under his belt too, which is really helpful.
Yeah.
And you just bring in the likes of Tolman and Fifita to do a job.
They'll have to do a job though. Like it's work that others don't do. Like he does a lot of the dirty stuff that you don't see.
Well, 60 minutes that he usually plays have got to be covered now. So this might be a good time to have Royce bump his minutes up, see what he's got.
We hope Toby's back sooner rather than later, but it is not as bad as what was first feared, which is fantastic.
I was pretty worried when I first saw it.
So we've been hinting at the run home all episode, Josh. We are 2 points ahead of the Storm, who are in fourth place. We're equal second with the Cowboys. We're equal second. That's pretty good.
It's crazy.
In third place, there's a 71-point differential at the moment. So ideally, we want them to lose a game. Our run home, we have Seagulls, Bulldogs and Knights. We're the only side in the top eight to play all non-top eight sides. Now, that's significant. And the more I hear people talk about the runs home and the varying opinions about it, the more I'm totally okay with having the, in inverted commas, easier run. Was it Kronk or Alexander, one of the, who I think are the greats on Fox, saying, why would you want to play a Melbourne or a Penrith this week going into the finals when your finals are secure? You obviously want to finish higher than where you are, but why would you want to do that to yourself?
I've never understood that you want to get a tune-up and you want to verse a top eight team. Like, why? Give me the 2 points and figure it out in the finals.
Yeah.
I get the idea of it.
Yeah, I do too.
Maybe if you're like 6-7 and you want to prove yourself and you want to see if you've got it, but wouldn't you rather just make it and have a crack in the finals than verse, the top four weeks in a row into the finals? No.
Yeah, what if you lose those 3-4 weeks running in?
Give me the easy 2 points every day of the week. Get the wins because winning breeds confidence.
Especially with the team we have, the way they play, it's a fairly unique style this year. And yeah, it's not like we're running with the other packs, so to speak, the other teams, and playing the exact same style of footy. We're playing something a bit different. And that in itself is a challenge for whoever we play. And we've seen it every week, whether it's the Panthers, whether it's the Rabbitohs, whether it's Melbourne to an extent. Oh, we beat Melbourne, didn't we?
We did.
So we know on our day we can beat anyone and beat them well. So
that's all that matters.
So the run home for me, yeah, I'm not fazed at all. I think I'm not going to say the softer the better. It's still footy. You're still out there making your tackles. And
exactly.
We are aiming to finish second, Josh. It's what I'm willing the team and the universe to make happen. It's possible now, which is great. And the best way to do that is to win all your games, the next three games. We have Flegg and New South Wales Cup this week, Josh. They're back. Triple header at Brookie. Flegg at 1:30. Shark Jets at 3:15. They both had the week off They're rested and ready to rock. You got any more news? You're a man with your ear to the ground.
Yeah, no, I don't think anything too major. I hope we're not pushing anyone unnecessarily. I hope we're not pushing Moylan for the sake of it. I hope he's 100%. There's no need to push anyone at the moment. So if unless they're 110% fit and ready to go, do not play them, please.
I think that our coaches.
Oh, I trust him 100%. Think in the same way, yeah. Just that little voice in your head that says, please don't pull a hamstring.
Yeah, especially when you have replacements there.
Yeah.
Who are going pretty good.
But no, you're right. I trust Fitzy. If he, you know, if he says he's good to go and Moises says he's good to go, I know he won't risk a final series mishap because of coming back, you know, a week too early. So, no, I'm looking forward to seeing Moises back, actually. I think we've missed him. And I've missed him personally.
But again, the rest for him, it's not the worst thing. We're winning. We're winning without him and the rest is fine. So, and he's one of those players that does slot back in really nicely.
He'll be fine.
He's just so good at what he does. All right, Josh, we'll take a quick break and come back and read the mail that has come into the inbox. This is Sharkcast Pod. Back after this break. The Royal Motor Yacht Club Port Hacking is a hidden gem of the Shire, situated on the banks of the beautiful Port Hacking. It's a great place to catch up with friends, celebrate your birthday or any special occasion, and they always show the NRL live on the big screens. They also have live acoustic music on weekends. Yachty's Bistro is open 7 days and nights for lunch and dinner, and they also do a phenomenal breakfast on weekends. If you mention Sharkcast, you get a free garlic bread, baby. The RMYC Port Hacking, proud sponsors of this podcast and big supporters of the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks. Check out their website, rmycph.com.au. They've got a Facebook page, or you could go old school and call them on 02-9523-9300.
Orbison, the first man play. The ball goes to ground. It was a terrible pass. Ferguson couldn't pick it up. And now Fecky's away. He skipped away from Kenny Dowell. And the Sharks run to victory number 14 in a row.
All right, Sharkcast Pod here with Royce Hunt. Freshly signed. Congratulations on the deal. Very, very well deserved.
Thanks, brother.
How are you feeling about it?
I'm pretty excited, eh? Like I said before, pretty excited about what we're building here as a club and as a playing group. So, you know, I'm happy to be a part of that and keen to keep moving forward in the future.
You came back from pretty serious injury. Was it last year against the Roosters? Was that the Bulldogs?
Yeah.
You come back pretty strong. Next man up, we're going to need you because Toby's out. Need you anyway, but how's it been this year? Like, you have become our starting prop, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I said before, one of my goals this year was to start a game. And I get one game starting and to start consistently over the last few weeks has been pretty surreal. But, you know, I'm happy to lay a platform for our middles coming off the bench and like try and get us off to a fast start and let them take over.
In your opinion, was last week career best?
I wouldn't have a clue, to be honest. I'm just...
How did you feel?
I felt good, you know. I feel better and better every week as we go on. You know, come in every day, learn something new. It's kind of a goal to try and learn something different and build on that every week. But yeah, it helps having Dale, Cam, Tolles in the fifth round, you know, all old fellas who... been around the game a long time, so always keen to learn off them and keep moving forward.
The team's going really well. In my opinion, we're going to finish second. No pressure on you guys, but I think we're going to finish second. How do we improve on where we're going? Is it a thing of just correcting the handling, a bit of defence? What in your opinion, do we need to tighten up?
Not too sure. We've been playing pretty good footy. You know, our style of footy is a lot different to a lot of different clubs, so I think we just keep building on our footy and you know, I don't think many clubs will keep up.
Okay. Expectations now for us, as I said, top four definitely, hoping top two. Where do you want to play week one of the finals when we get our home semi-final? Do you want to play here in front of 11,000 diehards or SFS in front of, say, 25,000 fans?
Shark Park, definitely. Shark Park.
All right.
Can't go wrong.
Excellent, excellent answer. And before we let you go, Roycey, you know we love our music. What have you been listening to lately?
I told you, every time someone asks for this, my wife's a singer, anything she sings.
Yes, yes. What's her professional name?
Siobhan Marie. She's on every platform. I always listen to her songs before, pre-game, on the way to the games, yeah.
What style is it?
She sings actually a lot of styles.
Okay.
Yeah, have a listen, you guys will find out.
All right, we will. If you're not listening to your lovely wife, what else are you listening to?
Ooh, that's a good question. It's a very good question. More of a mellow kind of guy before games, so
really?
Yeah, anything old school R&B, that's me.
So when you're doing your first hit up, how do you get into that frame of mind if you're so mellow before the game?
Oh, when I cross that line, it's different, yeah. I just think if I'm taking a hit up off the kickoff, once I get past that dead ball line, I'm just thinking, me or you, me or you, and then we'll see who wins that battle.
You scored a try last week. No try celebration, just happy to get up, get the 4 points and move on.
Yeah.
Have you got something planned for the future?
Nah, I'm not like Braden Hamlin-Ueli, you know. I don't like showing off. I just get up, do my job.
Well, Rossi, we're proud of you, man. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Another year in the beautiful colours of Cronulla, and good luck for the rest of the year.
Thanks, brother.
See you, man.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Sharkcast Pod, brought to you by Dyson Logistics, the Royal Motor Yacht Club in Port Hacking, and Jason Hawes at Cripps and Cripps Real Estate. Alex has written to us. Alex says, do we have anyone scouting for talent outside of your typical channels? Junior rugby union, AFL players, US college American footballers, or rugby players? I was watching the Commonwealth Games and thought even someone like Rowan Browning could cause some havoc on the wing. Love your work. Keep up the fantastic content. Thank you, Alex. Do we know who Rowan Browning is?
He is a sprinter. He's got a mullet. Ooh. And he kind of caught the eye of the nation in the Olympics.
Okay. I don't know the answer to this, Alex, and I will chase it up for you. Do you know anything about this, Josh?
I think it's been tried before, probably more in the 80s and 90s when was it the Tigers or someone that went for that sprinter because he was really fast, but he had no ability football-wise. And toughness that you get bred into you,
yeah,
from getting
Knights,
smashed for 10 years.
The Knights had an American footballer who
yeah,
didn't go too good. But I think what Alex is asking is, do we have people scouting?
Oh, I'm absolutely positive that every club would have scouts out there in every sport.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we have scouts that we don't know about who are watching games we don't know about. I'm being completely serious.
They're not supposed to be known.
Yeah. Yeah, they have...
Well, they go to P&G and all that. Like, they go and find all the next, you know, Sonny Bill Williams.
Yeah, and I'm led to believe these are more kind of, I guess, part-time roles, just roles that you don't know about and you'll never know about.
Guns for hire,
kind of,
if you will.
But it's interesting. Alex, thanks for your correspondence. And I will try and remember to chase that one up about the other sports because that's interesting. Now, Jack has written to us about the artificial chant that we talked about last week.
Mm.
And he's offered his services to make a live field recording of the crowd who are actually chanting, more organic. And he wants us to connect him to the Sharks marketing. And Jack, I don't know if I'm going to do that, but I appreciate what you're saying. And let's see where they go next year. Full summer under their belts and see how the chant sounds next year. Also says he's gutted for Toby and for us as fans, we won't enjoy seeing him running at the, in inverted commas, homophobic seven this Saturday, scaring the bejeebus out of them, literally, with his rainbow-coloured mouth guard. That could be the letter of the week, Jack. Yeah, Toby was awesome being so outspoken about equality. And I do urge everyone, if they haven't, and they probably already have, but if they haven't, try and find the half-hour segment with Jake Duke. I'm not sure what the show is called.
If you search on KO, just search Cronulla or search the keywords and
yes,
it will come up.
Yes, definitely on KO. It might be on your Fox Sports. It might even be online elsewhere. So
YouTube, I think, Fox Sports,
yeah,
they usually upload that stuff
and
as
it's
well.
Really cool. And there's a few things that you learn about him that you don't know about and his upbringing and that kind of thing. And yeah, really good stuff from Toby. Neil says he likes podcasts, he likes the fan mail. Wanted to pass on condolences to Paul Green's family and friends and those who have been touched by the tragedy. Been following the Sharkies since 1973, Josh. That's before you and I were even people. And I say that respectfully, Neil. That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm not saying anything else. That is awesome. When Paul came to Cronulla in 1994, we were a struggling team. He fitted in straight away and I was asking, who is this halfback Johnny Lang has brought from Brisbane East? He had a great dummy and often got in the clear and set up the likes of ET and Peachy. He was zippy too, had a good step and genuine halfback in the style of Tommy Bishop. I'm pretty sure he was only 21 when he came to the Sharks, but that didn't stop him from being a leader from the start. You could see he was an intelligent player. I'm sorry to hear he's gone. He'll always be remembered by me as one of our best person and player. Regards, Neil Up. Very well said, Neil. We echo that. The only player to win the Rothmans medal in the Brisbane comp and the New South Wales comp.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
So, thanks again, Neil. Very, very nice stuff. Alan also echoes that. He says, what a terrible loss to all the family, friends of Paul Green. It makes one wonder about the mental pressures some of the most talented players, whether current or retired, must suffer. Depression and mental breakdown can happen to anybody, so the clubs must be made aware to treat the players under their care responsibly. Watch out for any mood changes, etc. Please send my sincere condolences to the Green family and friends. So, thanks, Alan. That is lovely as well. We did get a lot of correspondence, Josh, about this. It's mm-hmm. affected a lot of people.
Yeah.
Some didn't want their thoughts read out, which we respect. Paul says, nice to have a routine win after the tight previous two games. They started like a train on Saturday before lowering the intensity to keep it in reserve for September nights when they'll need every ounce of the stuff. See, Paul's looking ahead. September nights.
He'd fit in on this podcast.
He would. I'm worried about the injury list. Seems like every week we lose someone else for a month. But that aside, you could hardly ask for a season to be better set up heading into the final weeks. He also wants us to have a song for Nico. He suggested the, I'm going to say 90s classic, could be wrong there, She's So High by, I think it's, is it Taj Bachman maybe? Maybe it's Ty Bachman. That's the one. Add a couple of lines about how great he is to fill out the chorus and we're in business. Cheers, Paul from
Penthouse. He's onto something there. That could work.
Yeah, I mean, Paul knows his music. I know
we'll get,
that.
We'll get you to write it, Sam.
I'm open to co-writing, Josh. Sean says, I've been very quiet on Sharkcast front this year, writing to you, wanting to wait for the right time. Well, I'm glad that you did. So far this year, I feel everything we do is getting better both on the field and off. I couldn't be prouder of the club as a whole. So this is interesting. Now, Sean says, I watched the Penrith game a few weeks ago and noticed we were dominating them in the first 20 to 30 minutes. But then we let them in and they quickly stormed home to victory. It almost seemed like after halftime we changed tactics and tried to beat them a different way. Do you think maybe the team is saving that style of footy that they can beat the Panthers in the finals for later on? Or am I thinking too hard about this? I know it sounds like a conspiracy theory, but maybe we're hiding the winning formula, blueprints, to beat the best. And I want to get your thoughts on it. I should point out he's given an example of the Roosters. I don't have it in front of me, but the Roosters in either 2018 or 2019, when they were playing Melbourne mid-season or towards the end of the year, something happened, didn't go their way, but then got them in the grand final.
Mm.
And Craig Fitzgibbon was part of the coaching. Now, I think, Sean, you're looking too far into it. I think that we just didn't play that well in the second half. But I do like what you're saying, that you don't want to give away all your secrets too early, but I think that that's very much getting into like an NFL kind of thing. You know, like you've got the playbook in front of you with the folder over it and you're wearing your glasses and they can't see you talk. Like, I think it's getting a little bit hocus pocus there.
Well, there's something to it. I'm sure there's plays that they've got, and like 2016, for example.
Hey, Ben Barber
saved it for the grand final. So there's something in there, probably to a lesser extent, but there's definitely something in there where you don't want to show all your big moves too early, but probably not to that extent. But no, I'm with him there.
And he also asks about which players should we rest leading up to the finals once we're locked in the top four, which I think is a win this week. Who should we rest? So we sort of mentioned Dale, Cam McInnes,
Hines,
possibly Moylan. You resting Hines?
Probably last round. That he's the key. We need him.
Yeah.
So if maybe I'd play in the next 2 weeks, get the two wins. Hopefully we're in a position where we can just rest the whole 17. If you don't have to, give everyone a run.
Yeah, man, it gets so complex this time of year. It's do you want the week off? Yeah, I want the week off. That's the one that always gets me. Do you want the week off or do you want to play?
Of course you do.
Going to week three, having the week off is an advantage. It's an advantage.
Yes, that's why it's an. That's why.
But
it's
they
there.
Throw them up there. They throw them out there, and I understand why. Love the podcast, all the stuff going on around it. Keep up the good work. Thank you very much, Sean, and don't be a stranger, please. Before we wrap up that, Josh, we have a little bit more correspondence, and we are going to start with Ash has written into us and said, I'm not overly confident this week playing at haunted Brookvale. We've only had 5 wins in 54 years there. Last win back in 2008. Do you think we can end the hoodoo? So, Ash, we're going to talk about in the next segment, but my answer to you is yes, we can. And, Josh, your answer is?
If we don't win this week, fold the club.
Jeez.
That's obviously...
I'm not that confident.
I'm being silly, but, I mean, this is the chance.
This is the chance.
We have to do
okay,
it.
Okay, gotcha. What we're going to do, Josh, because my organisation at the moment is just all over the shop, we're going to roll out of this segment with a voicemail from our friend Smitty, who I think he's from the mid-North Coast, from the North Coast, and he was at the Tamworth game, and he had a few things to tell us about his experience there and a few other things. We're going to roll out. He did want to say that it was a great day at Tamworth. It was packed, standing room only in the GA. The rain held off. He thinks it should be a yearly, if not more than once a year, event for NRL to go to areas like that. He did say that he forgot to say on the voicemail condolences to Paul Green's family. We did notice every game had the minute silence, which was well respected in every ground. Not a sound to be heard. Cheers, Smitty. So we're going to roll out with Smitty's thoughts. What are your thoughts on taking games to the bush?
Yeah, I love it. I think every team should have to do it once a year. If I was in charge, heaven help if they ever that happened. But I think every team, yeah, Tamworth, Coffs Harbour, any old joint. Like Melbourne should go somewhere different in
regional,
Melbourne.
Yeah, Victoria.
Or in Victoria, I should say. I think the Eels went to Northern Territory. Like, I think that's great. Go anywhere. Why not? One game a year. And the teams get paid for it anyway.
They do.
So,
they usually do, yeah.
You know. The only thing is you lose a home game, and that's that can cut into membership prices, and then you're already losing a magic round. So, but if you do,
yeah, I don't know if it's old age, Josh, but that sort of thing now is less grating for me. There was a time when I would lie down in front of the stadium and have to move me, if we lost one game. But now, and I'm not saying I would be happy if they moved 4 games.
No, 2 max.
If Jardine's listening, but. If I lose 1-2 out of the 12, yeah, it's still 10 chances for me to go see them at the local stadium.
Well, I should say as well, you don't always lose Magic Round as well. That's only every 2 years. So you don't always lose a home game to Magic Round.
Yes. And this year, maybe someone won't miss out anyway.
Yeah, well, it should be like whoever comes last should not go, but that's for another discussion.
That's a real pickle, that one.
Yeah. Or maybe Dolphins shouldn't go.
That's not going to fly.
No, that's not going to fly, is it? Last place. If you come last, that's your punishment. Because you don't really get punished for coming last, do you?
There's online harassment.
Yeah, but who cares about that?
Wooden spoon being thrown in your face wherever you go.
Yeah.
2014 wasn't a good year.
No, it wasn't.
I'm glad we won the comp, because if we didn't, that would still stick at me.
I think by winning the comp just really made my life a lot easier.
It did.
What about you?
It did, yeah, it did.
I didn't have to wait as long as you, obviously, but...
Hey. Hey, don't go calling me old man. On that note, we're going to take a break while I beat up Josh, and we're back to preview. We're going to preview the Manly game. Ooh, Manly. Ooh, Brookvale.
G'day, Sam. Smitty here from mid-North Coast. One of your listeners the other week said that they missed the club, celebrating the win after the game, and you used to go into the club and have a beer and whatnot. I think a lot of us are missing that. We used to come down from Taree, drive there, get there early, have a couple of beers, meet the crowd and all that, and then wander on over and, get our position to watch the game in the Shark Tank. No, definitely missing that, and can't wait for the new Ooze Club to be finished. Also, you said blackouts. Yes, if I want to watch a game later on, I black everything out. I don't want to see any results or hear anything, so, yeah, I'm a blackout. And with the crowd, we went to Tamworth. What a game. It was a good weekend away for the family and my mate and his wife. Stayed at Nundle, went to the ground, 10,000 plus people there. and like a country venue. So awesome. I really think we should do one round in the NRL to go out to all the country towns. Like they've got Magic Round in Brisbane that gets all the games. So why don't we do a round that they can't play in the city and they've got to go out and play in the country? I really think that's we've got to bring that to the NRL. Great game. Tamworth was awesome. Good win. Up Cronulla.
Sharkcast is supported by the best and most honest real estate agent in the Sutherland Shire, Jason Hawes from Cripps & Cripps Real Estate. He's an expert in the Currumbarra region and has his eye all across the Shire. Lifelong Sharks fan and supporter of this podcast, if you're looking to buy or sell in the region, the person you need to be talking to is Jason Hawes from Cripps & Cripps Real Estate. Call him on 0410 417 450. That's 0410 417 450. Jason Hawes, Cripps & Cripps Real Estate.
Right on the halfway line.
Hitting Housen and Green, laying it on. Peachy's into the face. They're not going to get him. The young fullback scores for the Sharks.
Well, I'll tell you, it is one of the best thumb moves you've ever seen.
Welcome back to Sharkcast Pod. We are on the home stretch, but we're not going anywhere until we talk about this haunted game. Ooh, Manly at Brookvale. 5:30 p.m. Saturday evening. Our team, Josh, looks pretty good. It looks pretty good. We're missing Toby Rudolph, but we have a whole bunch of troops coming back. We've got Cade Dykes at the back still. Lockie Miller holds his spot. Jesse Ramien and a returning Connor Tracy named as play in the centres with Ronaldo on the wing. A returning Matt Moylan in the halves with Nico Hines. Starting props. There's a part of me which really finds this very exciting. Starting props, Hamlin Ueli and Hunt. Two big boppers I wouldn't want to run into. Blake Braley will hook your scrum. Someone I think's in great form, Britton Nakora. And Wade Graham are your second rowers. Dale Finucan will lock the scrum. Your immediate bench is Teague Wilton, Cameron McInnes, Aidan Tolman, Andrew Fifita. So Wilton, McInnes, Tolman, Fifita. Extended bench of Braden Trindle, Jesse Colquhoun, Matt Ikavalu, Kale Iro, and Luke Metcalf. What do we make of all that, Josh? It's mostly positive, right?
It's a pretty good team. Confident, for some reason. We shouldn't be going into a Manly hoodoo game.
No, you can be confident.
No, I am. I think we'll win. I think we could potentially put a score on them, depending on how we play. Really? I think it'll be very similar to how we beat the Tigers, is how I'm envisioning
really?
It.
Really?
Yes.
I think it'll be tighter. I haven't got the Manly team in front of me, but it's a decent team.
It's okay. I mean, they're missing Jake Trbojevic, who's broken his hand.
They're missing Saab. When I say decent team, there's Foran, there's Cherry Evans... There's Garrick.
Look, Garrick was under an injury cloud, and I heard he wasn't going to play this week. Mm. So they just keep that in mind, because if he's out,
a lot of points go missing.
A lot of points go missing, and a lot of their desire and their meters.
What about the big fella who plays right edge, number 11?
Olakau'atu.
He's pretty good.
He's pretty good. He scored a try against us in their little comeback as well, didn't he? So
now the great Talakai has not been named, correct?
Correct.
Do we know what's going on there?
I think it's either worse than we originally thought, or they're just really taking it easy with him, because he's had a big year.
I saw him today at the media call and post-training, and he looked fine in his movement. I mean, there was no contact when I saw him, but he looked fine. I wouldn't have known that he was injured.
I would say if it was finals this week, he'd be playing. Put it that way. What Fitz originally said on the first week he was out was that if it was finals, he'd be playing. They'd needle him up, so... I have no problem. Again, like I said, he's had a big year. He's run a lot of meters. He's taken a lot of big hits. So there's no.
Wouldn't it be fun just to run him at Morgan Harper though?
Yeah, but then what if Harper had a really good defensive game and showed him up or something?
You can't go from that to that, surely.
Yeah,
I'm sure it'd be improved, but
he'd be scared that he'd be thinking about if he'd have nightmares.
That's why we need to have. Unlimited interchange like the NFL, just roll them out whenever you want, and then just one play. Here comes Talakai. We've talked about a little bit about the hoodoo, but this is how bad it gets. Our win record over them is our worst against any opponent, and it's their best against any current opponent, I should say. At Brookvale, they've won 85% of the games. They've won 34 of 40 matches. including the past seven, and they put a few points on us in the past four matches. So that's where that stops, because that is history. That is the old team. That's the old firm. We have new coach. We have new players. I looked it up today. Dale Finucane's won 6 of 8 games at Brookvale. Oof. So he knows how to win there. Really, it's our, the fans, superstition about, which is warranted given the nightmares we've had from that place and that club. Like, just the one that always gets me is the one at Shark Park. Jamie Lyon, chip and chase towards the end of the game. Was it like, was it 08? Was it 09? Man, they were good. We were bad. But we had it in the bag.
Was that the game? That wasn't the one Luke Douglas got sent off, was it?
Was that at Brookvale, maybe?
Oh, mate, it might have been. I try to forget about it.
This was at Shark Park.
I think I was at that game, though. It might have been 2011-ish.
It was like last second, and they won. It was just, come on, you know. Anyway, that's why we have these fears. But it's a new year, and we're ready to rock. We've got a good team, got a good coach. And I can guarantee you that the players don't give a rat's about where we're going, who we're playing. They don't listen to that kind of talk. They don't believe in that kind of talk. They're ready to rumble. And it's their job to get done for the bigger picture. Forget about beating Manly. It's about where you want to finish. And the bigger picture requires them to win the game. So that's what's going to happen. Josh thinks it might be by a bit. I think it might be a bit tighter. But I think that we certainly could win by 10 to 12 points, I think. I just think that we've been so consistent this year, and they've been so inconsistent. And that does mean they can just turn it on, not when they want, but they can turn it on and have a good day occasionally.
Ability, yeah.
So we have to be on our game. We have to be really on our game. I'd watch out for a half one ambush from them. Got to start well. Don't get behind. That's how you beat them. And I do think that they got some big forwards, but I think that, you know, shut down DCE and you go a long way. Like, he's the heartbeat of that team. They have got some other skill elsewhere, but I just think he's so involved in everything they do.
His defense has also been very ordinary this year. Mm-hmm. So I'd be getting at him a lot, that edge. I mean, and it's exactly what we did when we had that first half. He was at the centerpiece of a lot of their mistakes. I know Harper got a lot of stick for that.
Right.
But Cherry Evans can make some very unusual decisions defensively sometimes.
Who's going to be our center there? That's Connor.
That would be Connor Tracy. with Ronnie.
Okay, Ronnie can do some damage then, physically.
Yeah. So this is our best chance in a long time. Like, there's no excuse. There's no Tommy.
No.
They're decimated. And how good is it that Manly can't make the finals?
No Tommy, no Jake.
I hate that club so much.
Hate's a strong word.
I hate that club.
I'm just telling you, hate's a strong word.
Do you not hate them?
I don't like them at all, though.
I'd go as far as say I despise everything that club stands for, and most of its players, just quietly. Tommy and Jake are fine.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
I'm really hoping we can... They can't make the finals, but just to really, like, rub it in that it's officially over and we end their season and we set, like, you know, we set for a top two and the Cowboys lose and...
Cowboys this week have...
They have the Warriors.
So that's the easy one.
So that's the easy one. And then it's Souths and Penrith.
And Penrith.
I mean, okay. if we could snag a Warriors win out of them, that'd be great.
That's not going to happen.
I know, but...
No.
Stranger things have happened.
They have, and I've seen them happen, but it's not going to happen.
Okay.
So let's not get ahead of ourselves. We've told you a lot of stuff in this episode that's not going to happen, but that's not going to happen. Don't tell people that the Warriors are going to be the Cowboys.
They're not, but they could.
I don't even know if they could. I don't think it's possible.
It'd be great.
It would be great. Of course it'd be great, but I don't think it's possible.
Okay.
You're saying because there's 13 guys out there, they might be able to win.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Anything can happen on the day.
Yep.
The better team may win. The worst team may win. Flip of the coin. Luck of the draw.
Could SJ do us a real big favour for his old club?
What about Aaron Woods playing 250 games and getting a reprieve, being allowed back in the grandstands to drink his beer at
yeah, I just saw that.
Mount Smart.
It was good of the Warriors to get on top of that. That was very unfair.
So was he telling porkies in his social media? Not Aaron Woods, but the guy.
The guy? I don't know. No, I think it happened. I think he
was told he was banned for life. And the Warriors went, no, he's not banned for life.
Maybe they reversed it when they saw the backlash or realized how ridiculous that was.
The best thing about that club right now is that.
Yeah, literally, and they probably knew that.
He claims to be a friend of Stacey's as well, or a family friend or something. So there's just those awkward shots where Stacey's looking at him, expressionless.
He's like, why is Aaron Woods here?
He looks a lot like Aaron Woods. 250 games this year for the big fella. Well, this week for the big fella.
See, I don't hate Aaron Woods. I'm glad he's not at the club anymore, but he seems like he's doing really good on Triple M. I don't know if you catch some of his snippets that he does. He'll do a really good job in the media after. He says what he thinks, and he doesn't pull any punches.
Good for him.
He speaks well too for a big forward.
Big forward. Yeah. Good for him. I don't hate any player, I've got to tell you that. I don't think, especially from our club or who's been in our club. Like, I think Sean just kind of...
He didn't fit the end, did he?
It was bittersweet. It could have been amazing, and it really wasn't. And then he wanted all this money and all this sort of stuff, and then he kind of left it. It was a bit, But I've got nothing against him. He's Sean Johnson. He's very likable. And as you say, Aaron Woods, he's a good fella off the field, and he's a good fella off the field. I'll leave it at that. We have been Sharkcast. This has been Josh and Sam. I'm Sam. That's Josh. And thanks so much for all your correspondence. Thanks for all of your feedback. And please keep it coming. We've got more episodes coming to see out the year. That's for sure. We're not going to go anywhere. And we're pretty excited. If you haven't been able to tell over the last hour, an hour and a half, we're pretty excited about what's coming up. And we feel like you should be too. So if you're not, get pumped up and go back and watch the game highlights. And anyway, Josh, thank you so much for your time. I know your time is precious. And you are precious too.
Thank you.
And remind me again, I'm not even being a smart aleck. You like Muse. Yes. Who did I say you liked?
You said I like Placebo.
You can see the correlation between the two.
I think I have one.
I'm like 5 years off or whatever, but...
I think I have one song of theirs on my Spotify as opposed to probably 170 of
Is it Every Me and Every You?
No.
I think I've asked this before.
No.
I'm getting deja vu.
I don't even know what they look like.
They look like Muse. No, I don't know. I shouldn't say that.
A new Muse album comes out soon.
Is it because there are three pieces? Is that why I'm saying it? They're both three pieces?
Are they? A Placebo?
I think so.
Well, Muse are.
Yeah.
Best three piece in the world.
That's a different podcast, man.
We'll take this off air.
Are you talking current or all time? Don't say all time. I'll throw you out of here. That's with respect because you're not wrong because it's your opinion. You're allowed to say that. But holy heck, there's been some good three-piece bands around the world.
Yeah.
Especially in Sydney as well. Maybe that can be a summer podcast for you and I. Three-piece rock and roll.
We'll do some music. We'll do a Muse podcast.
You say Muse and I go, checkmate Nirvana. Anyway, on that note, with the lights out, it's less dangerous. We'll talk to you another time soon. Go the Sharks. Let's get manly. Let's keep on climbing up. And thanks so much again, especially for our waffle. We appreciate it. Up, up, Cronulla. Sharks forever.